Me.
Are you here?
I'm here. Come on, get in the car.
I am ready. I am fired up. Let's go.
Get in here and buckle up, Buttercup.
It's time for another episode of Who's Driving? Welcome to Who's Driving? I'm Wesley Turner.
And I'm Stephen Merck. We're two best friends and entrepreneurs.
Who's Driving is an entertaining look into the behind the scenes of our lives, friendship, and businesses.
These are the stories we share and topics we discuss as two best friends would on a long road trip.
Along the way, we'll check in with friends and offer a wide range of informative topics centered around running small businesses, social media, and all things home and garden.
Buckle up and enjoy the ride. You never know who's driving or where we're headed.
All we know is it's always a fun ride. And on this week's episode, we're going to do a follow-up to probably one of the most often requested follow-ups. And we're going to talk about Airbnbs, short-term vacation rentals. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be coming up.
We've had a lot more of questions
about this. Yeah, we're saying the same thing.
Same thing.
Over and over. So we thought we would do a little follow-up. And we asked on our social medias some questions, put up question boxes, and we got lots of great questions. So.
Yeah, and things that I didn't think about, which is good because that's what we wanted.
Right.
And, you know, we talked about in episode number two, our Airbnbs, how we got started. And, you know, it was in the ditch in the beginning. You know, we had to learn our way.
Yeah, it's always a learning experience. But we'll get there. But before we get there, I have something that I just saw someone else talking about on Instagram.
What?
And I think we need to add it to our road trips in our market. Did you know? You know how we love snacks and treats?
Mm-hmm.
There is a whole market convention for sweets and snacks.
Oh, we're going. Where is
it? It's a Sweets and Snacks Expo.
Las Vegas.
Expo. No, it's in Indianapolis.
Oh, that's a good city.
Is it? I've never been there.
That's a good city.
A Sweets and Snacks Expo.
I say we drive there, though, because there's some good shopping, antiquing in Ohio and Indiana.
Yeah. It's sometime in May. I got to look it up.
Oh, we got to go. We've got to go. And we got to take them on the road with us.
I know. You know how we love a good snack and a treat and all the things.
Oh, my gosh. We have to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to plan that. That'd be our road trip.
Mm-hmm. I hope it fits into our schedule.
Yeah, I know. I know. That's the hard thing.
I don't know the dates or whatever, but I just saw someone who's in that like industry talking about it. And they show like new releases of, you know, products. There's everything from like national brands to like super small brands of sweets and snacks.
Oh, I have a riddle for you.
Oh gosh, a riddle for me? Mm-hmm. I'm not good riddles.
I just went through the bank today. You know, I went through our bank and made a deposit for the retail stores, and they had their new riddle of the week. I hadn't been through this week.
My brain does not do riddles.
Why? You have chickens. Well, when they're not dead. why does a chicken coop only have two doors?
I don't know.
Because if it had more doors, it would be a sedan.
Oh my gosh. That's actually cute.
It is cute. It's like a dad joke.
That's funny.
Yeah, riddle, but it is cute.
Oh my gosh.
That was cute. So I saw something scrolling through Instagram last night. And it just struck me as funny because they had so many people. It was like on a university. So let me write down this word and then I want you to say it.
Oh gosh. Is this embarrass Wesley Day?
No, it's a common word.
But
say that. Read that.
Crayon.
Crayon. That's the way I say it. Do you know how many different varieties of that word, how people pronounce it? Like crayon?
Yeah.
Crayon, crayon. I mean, it was so funny to me.
Okay, everyone who's listening right now, say it out loud. And how do you say it?
I feel like
crayon.
Crayon. It is crayon. It is not crayon.
Oh.
It is not. So if you say crayon, you're saying it wrong. I don't care if you live in Boston or Philadelphia or New York. It's crayon. Crayon.
Maybe not that drawn out, but crayon.
Crayon. Yeah.
Okay.
It's crayon. It's two syllables, not crayon.
I didn't know what word you were about to make me.
Do you have a blue crayon? Mm-hmm. It doesn't even sound. No, it was so funny because it was like on a college campus. Yeah. So all these people were interviewed, and it was so funny to hear how all the, and it, I really honestly could not tell by everybody's act. Everybody doesn't sound like, you know, a corn cob like I do, but it was hard to tell if they were from up north, but I'm like, they got to be from up north, but they're saying Crayon.
Crayon.
But I feel like Crayon, because I have family married into my family from Pennsylvania, and I feel like I could hear people from Pennsylvania saying Crayon.
Yeah.
But I don't know. So tell us how you pronounce it.
I think since we are about to head to the High Point Furniture Market, and we got to take our microphone and take it on the road, you got to make little pit stops.
Mm-hmm.
You should ask people that at market.
How do you pronounce this word?
Yeah.
Have it on a flashcard.
That should be one of the
questions. That would be fun. And we could That'd be fun.
Other people say it. And then you can make fun of them or whatever.
Crayon.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, it's always interesting to me. And it was like such a simple thing, but I watched the whole damn reel like twice.
Just to see how everybody
was,
says it.
And it was funny. Everybody laughed. It was, you know, it was just a cute little thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those words.
We all pronounce things differently. And some of us can't pronounce anything if you're like me. You just kind of can't even pronounce it. It's like my name. Have we talked about that on here?
Wesley, and Wesley.
Yeah.
With a T.
Yeah.
And you know what really
the
irritates
one that drops
me?
The
Wesley.
Most. Yeah. Don't put a Z in my
There's
name.
No Z.
Yeah. Hey, Wesley.
Wesley.
No. That one, you can call me anything.
Wesley doesn't irritate me as much as Wesley.
Yeah.
I almost correct people sometimes.
But that's a northern thing too.
Wesley.
Wesley. It's Wesley. Put an S in there. Put an S in there. Oh my goodness. So what else you got for me? Nothing? Is that it? You want to just dive into the Airbnb?
I mean, we could sit here and talk for days, but yeah, I mean.
Let's get into the Airbnb thing. I feel like there's a lot. I mean, I got a lot of questions.
I do too.
Some of them are repeats. So let's just dive right into it. And I think it's interesting from both aspects, whether you're interested in owning a short-term vacation rental, or maybe you just stay in one, or maybe you don't know anything about it. And I think it's interesting all the way around, no matter who you are. Whether you're interested, because we have people who are interested in it. Like, I kind of want to do it, but don't know what to do and that sort of thing.
Do it.
So we say do it. But first of all, let's recap kind of from last year. You already mentioned we did a whole Airbnb. That's what we call them. It's short-term vacation rental.
Yes.
Airbnb can be on VRBO or however you want to rent it.
Management company.
Yeah, you can rent it however.
It's short-term vacation rental.
Well, ours are listed on Airbnb.
So and I prefer, I have had, Wesley has only used management companies and Airbnb.
Right.
I have used Airbnb, management company, and Vrbo.
But you only had Vrbo for like a month.
But it was not, my issue with Vrbo is not anything with the company. It was just not as user friendly as Airbnb.
At
like
the time.
The app.
And
at
that was years ago. So we can't really talk about it.
Well, for me at the time, it was seven. The app, everything was not as, see, I think
user friendly.
Yeah, I think Airbnb is just very easy. Yes. And I hope Vrbo's better than it was. I'm sure it must be.
We probably should look into it.
We really
I feel
should.
Like they really upped their advertising.
Their advertising is good.
Yeah. So, you know, you can list them anywhere you want. But anyway, before we get to that, if you want even more in-depth or to listen to a different version, you can go back and listen to episode 2 of our podcast last year, like very beginning. It will say like short-term vacation rentals and kind of how we got into it and talked about it. But we'll do a little bit of a recap as we go along. But that will be a different take. I don't even remember what we said last year.
I don't either. So, and that's good.
So some of it may be the same. Some of it may be different. I think the biggest thing that we need to set up front about how we run our vacation rentals is because you can look at them two different ways, and we talked about this before. You can look at it is you have a vacation home and you want to make a little extra money by renting it out, or you can look at it as a business and you want to rent it out as much as possible and make money off running it as a business.
And let me tell you this, everybody listening probably knows by now, I'm very OCD, cannot help it. I am legit OCD. When we first started, and Wesley can attest to this, I thought it was going to be my vacation home and a business.
Yeah.
Big mistake for me.
Yeah.
Because I am so OCD and want everything so perfect. Not a good approach for me.
Right.
So my approach now, if you know, for any of our properties, it is just a business,
right,
to me.
And so that's how we run all of our Airbnbs, as a business. Mm-hmm. And you do need to get that mindset from the beginning. Like, if you're going to have it as a vacation home, but you're going to rent it some and make a little extra money, maybe just enough to cover cost or something.
Yeah, monthly expenses.
Yeah. Then you can set that up that way as far as furnishings and make it your little space. And I would recommend only, I wouldn't even list it on a management company or Airbnb. You would rent to friends.
Or you could do it on Airbnb, but I would block out most of the dates.
Right.
I would block out all but 2 weeks. And then when 1 week books up, block the rest out. If you just want to cover your monthly expenses.
Yeah.
I personally, and this is in some of the questions. I haven't read all the questions, so I'll read some of them for the first time here.
Yeah.
But the one thing I do like about Airbnb is you do have insurance through Airbnb.
Right. Yeah. You do have insurance, and then you can have your own insurance and that sort of thing. But going back to it being vacation, your vacation home versus a business, is it kind of comes into play at the beginning as your setup.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're making it your vacation home, then you want your stuff and you want it your way and that sort of thing. If you want it as a business, you're going to strip it down a little bit more. You're going to have the stuff, but you're not going to be as worried about, is this pillow placed perfectly on my sofa? Mm-hmm. You got to strip down some of the decor a little bit.
You have to make it more simple.
You have to make it more simple because you got a lot of turnover and different, even the cleaning company coming in, they got to be able to reset it quicker.
You know, less tchotchkes around.
Yeah. For decor, you got to strip it down and have it where it can be clean quicker. Things aren't collecting dust. If families are coming in and they have kids, they're not moving all your decor around. Mm-hmm. So you got to kind of still make it feel warm and inviting in a cool place, but you gotta strip it down.
Your dishes, like we've talked about, you want the basic restaurant white dishes, so you can add to them all the time.
Yeah.
And you know, you wouldn't necessarily do your VA tree or your special china like you would if it was your personal vacation home.
Right.
And that was something I struggled with in the beginning because I wanted to make some things nicer than they should be. Mm-hmm. But, you know, after things are broken and damaged and you replace it, then that's when I was like, oh, we knew all white dishes.
Right.
Who knew?
And you got to think about, what appreciation are your renters going to have of it? Does it matter? They're not going to say, oh, these are just plain white plates. Uh-uh. So you're going to spend the basic money that you can on those plain white plates.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about where we put in our money is in the furnishings that aren't going to get damaged, like the lighting.
Light fixtures.
Very nice light fixtures that make statements in our places. Mm-hmm. Or nice dining room tables and that sort of thing. The pieces that make a good statement, but aren't really going to go anywhere.
You don't have to worry about it. And one thing I had to learn is in my first one, because Wesley and I started out, he had one, I had one.
Yeah.
And I started out with upholstered chairs, which surprisingly lasted like five or six years.
Yeah.
But that was so dumb.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I Scotch guarded them. That's why they lasted. And actually, it wasn't the fabric. Someone broke the chairs.
Yeah.
But so then I just went to wooden chairs.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's one less thing you have to worry about.
Right. So that's the thing to keep in mind at the very beginning.
Keep
and we
it
talked
simple.
About Also, if you're running it as a business versus running it as your or having it as your vacation home may determine location as well. Like if you're running it as a business, you want it in, you know, a happening spot, or it could be even in your town. It doesn't have to be at the beach or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you might go with a house that is not your perfect dream second home. Whereas if you are really wanting your dream second home vacation house, then you're going to put that as a priority. So your priorities kind of are different when you're even looking for the property as an Airbnb. You need to go in with the mindset of how am I running this?
Absolutely. And if it's a second vacation home, you want it in a place that you love to go, obviously.
Right.
And if it is just for a short-term vacation rental, it might not be somewhere that you love to go, but it just may be a good investment place.
Yeah. Good investment, good moneymaker.
I mean, I personally don't love going to Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge. That I used to. I'm not so much anymore. However, if I found a good deal on an Airbnb there, I would grab it because, you know, your parents have one there and it's been phenomenal.
Right.
And I'm like, wow. I mean, that's a great place for an Airbnb.
Right.
So I just would keep it open like that, too, if you're doing it just from an investment.
Yeah, for a business. So I guess we should have started off in case you didn't catch the first episode or the time around and don't know. So we own, so Steven and I own our Florida vacation house together in Miramar Beach, Florida, right next to Destin. Then Daniel and I own a condo in Hilton Head, and Steven owns a condo in Hilton Head. So we have those. and then my parents own a cabin in the Pigeon Forge area, and I run their Airbnb as well. So we have, between you and I, because we all do it kind of as far as like, oh, got this on Airbnb, and you know, the
and
whole process.
And if there's a problem, we help each other. And
there's four properties.
We had five. I had two in Hilton Head. I sold one in 22.
Yeah.
Which was a good.
We got a lot of Airbnb experience.
And let me tell you, like that Airbnb I had that I sold in 22, I bought that in 2017. I had it 5 years. And this is the other part of having a vacation rental is I made money. I paid my rental income over 5 years paid me back all the money I spent on that property. And then I turned around and sold it
at a profit
three times what I paid for it.
Right.
So I really quadrupled the money.
Your investment.
In 5 years.
Right.
So, which is insane.
Very good. And yeah, that's the other part that you have to think about with owning an Airbnb is also the appreciation of the, as far as an investment standpoint, there's a lot of, you know, appreciation in the value of the property itself, plus you're making money along the way, or at least paying for itself along the way, either way.
I call it my mailbox money.
So one of the common questions I got is like, how do you even get started or whatever to find your Airbnb? And you can do a vacation rental anywhere as long as your city or county.
And HOA. You've got to look at county, city, and HOA.
Allows this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, we've selected our, you know, rentals in heavily vacation areas. So Hilton Head, I mean, that their whole economy is driven, you know, by rentals in Florida. And that sort of thing. So, you know, it would be different if we did one here in Greenville where we live. You can do it. You just got to do certain areas, like in the county, no HOA, because most people won't allow
it. And they're hard to, the thing is in Greenville, you know, and there's some questions about Greenville in particular from some of our Greenville listeners. With Greenville, in Greenville City, you can do short-term vacation rentals in a commercial building, not a residential. And in the city, but if it's a residential in the city, it has to be 30 days or longer for short-term rental. So it's really weird and quirky. So if you happen to find a condo in a commercial building, and the HOA also allows short-term rentals, then you're good to go. But you just need to do your homework and verify all that. Because I got into a situation several years ago, and there were some great condos. They were apartment buildings in downtown Greenville that were converted to condos, and the prices were phenomenal. Looking back, I should have bought it anyway. Mm-hmm. But I got into it, and then I realized, you know, I was told one thing from a sales associate, and then I was told another when I made it to the board of the HOA. And then the bylaws had contradicting things in there.
Yeah.
So then I decided to back out because I was
like,
you
didn't want to get in there and not be able to rent.
Yeah, it was going to be a problem. So just do your homework wherever you're going to buy it.
Yeah. And so then once you find the place and you're like, okay, we can buy in this area, or maybe you find the house, what we look at personally, because we want to run it as a business and we want to run it kind of as a self-sufficient business. So we look at, okay, what's the payment going to be? You know, what's the down payment going to be? What's the payment going to be? And how much would we have to rent it to cover the expenses? So all of our properties, we don't put money in. We put the initial money in when we bought them. Mm-hmm. And then after that, we don't put money in.
The
rentals mm-hmm. pay for the monthly payments, monthly expenses, and plus some. Like, we make profit off of it. Now, we usually, and I think even for the Florida house, what we do is we have separate accounts for each Airbnb, mm-hmm. and we just leave that in there. I mean, yes, you could, you know, draw it out and mm-hmm. spend it or whatever. We leave it in there for repairs or
upgrades
or whatever. Yeah. And then maybe at the end of the year, like, okay, let's leave this nest egg in there and then take out what's left mm-hmm. over.
And the other thing I would say when you're starting out, even if you have, say you, just for example, say you had $500,000 you wanted to invest in a short-term vacation rental, I would say look at the whole picture before you decide to take all of that cash and put in that. Mm-hmm. It may make more financial sense to put $100,000 down or $50,000 down and do a mortgage. You just have to look at what your income will be and the tax ramifications. It just may make more sense. If you're writing it off anyway, it may make more sense to just keep that cash and use it
in another investment.
Another vehicle to make money.
Because you might, like you're saying, say you have $500,000 and you're like, oh, well, I can put $100,000 down on this mm-hmm. house. Yes, I'm going to have a mortgage or whatever, but then I can safely say that it, you know, renting it on Airbnb will cover all these expenses. So it's not costing me anymore. And then I can take this other $400,000 and invest it in something else or more properties or whatever. So you have to kind of look at that big
picture. And if the property's inexpensive, maybe you just pay cash.
Right.
And then you know, with a larger property, you mortgage part of it or whatever. I would just say, look at that. I would say with the smaller properties that aren't going to bring as much income, it does make more financial sense to pay cash for it if you can.
Yeah.
And the larger ones to do a mortgage on part of it. And a lot of it depends on your current rates and the current market situation.
Yeah.
So a lot of different considerations there, but I wouldn't go into it thinking you necessarily have to pay cash.
Yeah.
Or financing is a little different and a little more difficult because it's a short-term vacation rental or a second home. Sometimes it's more beneficial to approach it from a financing standpoint as a second home than a short-term vacation rental. It can cost you more approaching it from buying it through a bank as a short-term vacation rental.
Yeah.
So always talk to your mortgage advisor about that. Do we want to, for Wesley and I, we've either paid cash or we've mortgaged as a second home. Because that was what made more financial sense. And it just really depends on rates and rental income. And it's just a lot of variables in there.
But all of that's, it's not difficult. I know that sounds like a lot of information.
No.
These are just things to think about and ask mm-hmm. along the way. But it's not anything difficult. Mm-mm. So the biggest thing is finding the place that you're allowed to have it and then looking at maybe what your mortgage would be and then kind of looking around like, well, how much, like we... err on the conservative side. And we're like, even in Florida, we're like, okay, how much can we rent this for? And how much does it have to rent to cover our bills? Like, mm-hmm. and I would say, you know, you're not going to rent every day of every month. Because even sometimes there's just gaps from the way people...
Weather.
Yeah. Or, you know, seasons or whatever. So go on the conservative side and say, okay, I only have to rent this, you know, half the year and I'm covered.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, okay, that's easy to do sort of thing. So, you know, if you're looking and saying like, well, compared to some other Airbnbs or what I think I can get for this, I've got to rent it like 90% of the year. Well, that's a little... Could you do it? Maybe, but that's a little more risky if you don't want to have to pay anything out of your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can, like, when we got the Florida house, I think we were like, okay, conservatively, if we just rent it like very little, we could, like, the most we should have to come out with is like $1,000 a month or something. And that would be like renting it not even a fourth of the year or something.
And one other thing that will slip up on you, and this isn't just about short-term vacation rentals, it's about buying any home, and especially when you're trying to create a budget,
right,
is make always take a look. So if you're buying a house today for $500,000 and you look and the people have owned it for 15 years and they paid $200,000 for it, the next complete tax year, your property is going to be reassessed. So your taxes are going to go up and they could double or triple what they were based on the value of the home.
Right.
So that is an important deal because that could be go from $100 a month to $300 or $400 a month. It's not a big deal. It's no different than when you buy any home, but just calculate that in your realtor and or your closing attorney should be able to help answer those questions for you.
Yeah. Like when this is reassessed.
Mm-hmm. For taxes,
What's the new rate going to
be? Yeah.
Because this old rate's been off the, you know, accumulated.
And make sure that you're like, if someone's lived in the home and they had an in-state occupied tax rate, make sure that you're calculating it on a second home tax rate. Like in South Carolina, it's the difference between 4% and 6%.
Right.
Again, this seems so complicated, but it isn't. Like if you have a realtor, they should help you answer all of these questions.
Right.
A realtor and a mortgage broker could answer everything.
Right. And then they can tell you what your payment's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can decide, okay, can I rent this for this and cover my expenses? Because that's what, I mean, for us, again, as owning it as a business, we wanted them to be self-sufficient and make a little extra. Plus, we have the investment of the property itself that eventually, who knows what we'll do with it.
Mm-hmm.
May sell it, may keep it, whatever. But that's
And for, you know, I don't mind sharing this. I'm sure you don't mind. With our house in Florida, when we purchased it, we calculated our ROI, return on investment, based very conservatively.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because of a lot of insurance issues in Florida and the sale price of the house, our taxes doubled and our homeowner's insurance doubled, which was a lot of money, and we were still fine.
Yeah.
Because we had enough cushion in there. We were so conservative, it didn't bite us in the ass.
Right.
So just, you know, build that little cushion in there.
Yeah. And that's why it goes, again, back to if you're doing it as a business, your dream second vacation home may not be the right home to run as a business for an Airbnb. So you just got to keep that in mind if you're wanting to make the most, like, profit out of it.
You know, I've been looking recently at buying a cabin, like in the North Carolina mountains. That will be, I will approach that one differently.
Yeah.
Because I will want that to rent less.
Mm-hmm.
I will not open it up as much.
Okay. Say that.
I say that. I know. That's what Wesley said when I talked him through that. He's like you're going to rent it.
You're not going to be there. Rent it. Make the money.
True. I know.
Make the money, honey.
I know.
It's just going to be sitting there. Okay. So let's dive into, I think that gets a good little base. Mm-hmm. And then I think we got a lot of questions so we can dive into those. Do you want me to go first or you want to go first?
You take a question and then I'll do a question.
So let's do this one. How many do you own, which we've already mentioned? Between the two of us, it's four that's in play that we manage. Is each one independently profitable? Yes.
Yes.
So each one is independently profitable. We don't put any money into any of the four properties out of our pocket. Do you hire out the management? And yes. So each place, because all of ours are out of town, we do not live, I guess our Hilton Head's the closest, and that's what?
4 hours.
4 hours. So we have, and you can do this. This is a good thing to talk about as far as management. If you are not in the same town where your property is, there's different type of management companies. So like in Hilton Head, we have really not a management company as far as they do not manage any of the bookings of the property. They are a management company as far as cleaning and maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a business there that has our unit, and then we just tell them, hey, we need, I just email on the first of the month, I have guests in on this date, guests out on this date, guests in, out, and they know what days to do the cleanings. And for each time they go in to, you know, flip the condo around, they charge a base cleaning fee, just like if someone came and cleaned your house. And that's what we pay them. There's no percentage or anything. It's this amount to come clean your condo. And then they also, with that, do like maintenance. So if someone calls and says, the toilet's leaking or, you know, won't stop running or whatever, I can call them and say, hey, can you go by and check on the toilet or whatever? And they will do that. Or, you know, whatever it may be. The microwave broke. I can call them and say, hey, can you go get us a new microwave? And they will do that for us. And they just charge a, you know, whatever the cost of the product and like a small fee or whatever. So that's how all the like maintenance and stuff gets done. Now, of course, when we go down, we go and we do, you know, touch up painting and, you know,
all the repairs,
little repairs and stuff like that. But anything, you know, mine in Hilton Head, my air conditioner went out a few weeks ago, a couple of months ago. But so the maintenance company, I called them. It's like, hey, well, air's not working. They went by. Yeah, it's got to be replaced. And they did. They handled all of that. So stuff like that can be very easy. So that's how the one in Hilton Head works. The one in Florida, we have a management company, and they're a larger management company. So they also rent our cottage, our vacation house, rental house. They rent it. They have it on their website, and they push it out as well to get rentals. And when they get rentals, they take a fee from that, a percentage from that. So you got to kind of do that calculating too into your, you know, your calculations at the beginning. But then with that, they also do have maintenance and do the cleanings as well. So obviously we rent our place on Airbnb, and then they're also renting it. So the one thing that I have to do is keep our calendars in sync with each other. So if someone rents on theirs, I'd check it every few days or whatever. And I get an email if someone rents, it says like you've gotten a new booking on, you know, your property. Then I go into Airbnb and I block those dates out. And then if someone rents it from me on Airbnb, I go into their calendar, the backside, and I block out those dates. And then I submit that I have booked a guest there, and I put in the guest information, the dates and all that. And then they still, just like normal, clean the property and do everything.
And it sounds like a lot of work, but I would say realistically,
not a lot of work at all.
Wesley spends an hour a month or two hours.
2 hours maybe between, yeah.
And I do the same.
Yeah.
And that's...
And those 2 hours is like 15 minutes here, 15 minutes there, 20 minutes
and
there.
That's a month, not a week.
Yeah.
That is a month.
Yeah.
So it's really nothing.
Yeah. So that's the two different types of management that you could have. And then you could also manage it yourself if it's in the same, you know, place and you want to do your own cleanings and resets and that sort of thing.
Which would be
if
great.
If it's in your own city.
You could make a lot more money.
Yeah. So that's the way to think about the management.
Okay. My next question is a good one because we've talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a good one. What would you do if a squatter took over your Airbnb?
Okay. Well, first of all, everyone is worried about squatters. What about the squatters? What about the squatters? Or I know you've seen stories, and I feel like recently in the news and whatever, that is like so unheard of.
It's mostly houses that are not lived in.
I mean, like you have a better chance of getting struck by lightning. or the equal to of having a squatter.
I wouldn't say that. I would agree with you for a short-term vacation rental.
Mm-hmm.
But if you use Vrbo or Airbnb, especially those two, you've got a contract.
Yeah, you've got a contract, and they've got insurance. And,
$2 million of insurance
on your property. So you're getting paid, and you're getting an ass whooping if it's in our
property. Yeah, take that out of it. I'm from Pickens County, South Carolina. I will drag your ass out by the hair of your head.
Like, face the consequences later.
Absolutely. And I know.
If not, me and you are going to be snuggled up in the bed together.
With whoever it is.
Yeah. Hey, girl. Hey, guy. How's it? What are we watching?
Yeah. I mean.
And there's going to be some.
Listen, I have friends that listen to this that are attorneys and stuff, and they're saying, well, it's a listen, I'm just going to tell you, I would roll up with my 9mm and I would kick the door in. I would drag them out. And I would worry about it later. If you want to take me to jail, whatever.
Yeah.
I've never been to jail, but there's a first time for everything. But no one is going to do, like, that is taking it a little too far. You're not going to steal my property from me.
Correct. But also, honestly, as a owner of the properties, that never crosses my mind.
Ever.
That just never crosses my mind.
But that tags on to another question that I'm sure is on yours, that's on mine. Is it better to rent it yourself or use something like Airbnb or Vrbo?
I would use Airbnb and Vrbo.
You actually have a contract. They are responsible for those guests.
Yes.
And you have, I know for Airbnb, it's $2 million insurance on your home.
Yeah. We very, very, very rarely book outside of Airbnb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, even if very, very close family people, mm-hmm. we will say Venmo us this or whatever. But if we don't know you, no, you got to go through Airbnb.
And we've had ours for 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
And in 9 years, one time in 9 years, I've had to call a guest and, you know, say,
You made someone leave, didn't you?
Well, I said... Because I'm crazy and everybody knows it. It's fine. They had racked up $500 in fines from the HOA.
Mm-hmm.
And I called them. And
this was after they checked out. You found out that.
Yeah.
Right.
I called them. Well, they hadn't left yet. They were getting ready to. Okay. And I threatened to hunt them down.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you had better send me $500.
Yeah.
And you've got, I don't remember how long I said, you've got like 2 hours to send me mm-hmm. my money. And there were lots of other words involved in it.
Yeah.
And then I called Airbnb, sent Airbnb all the violations.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my money within 2 hours.
There you go.
They paid me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wasn't playing either. Like, some stuff is to be expected. You're right.
If it's an innocent, like I've had a violation from like in Hilton Head, which I haven't had one in a while.
Knock on wood.
Did they get a little more relaxed? You know, for a minute, I felt like they were just up my butt or something violation. But like someone left a trash bag by the door
for too long.
And the thing is, knowing the property and whoever it was, it could have been out there an hour. It mm-hmm. could have been out there 30 minutes and they just happened to walk by, and that's something. And it was like a $20 fee. I don't even mention
that wasn't an intentional thing. I've had them leave the blinds open.
Oh, yeah.
And get a fine. I'm not worried about that. But these people got naked and jumped in the swimming pool in the middle of the night, jumped off of the balcony onto the ground.
Mm-hmm.
They were riding the luggage carts around the property, it was some kind of
toy.
Yeah.
That's
like
funny.
It was a golf cart or something. I mean, they were just abusing the property.
Right.
And that was ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's what ticked me off. Like, trash, blinds, towels. I mean, there's all kinds of, with a resort, you can get all kinds of finds. I don't get all up in the air, and I don't even charge the guests for most of that.
That's, I don't either. If it's something that I'm like, I could relate to or probably have done myself.
Well, I had one guest that decided to fish in the lagoon when there's 8 million signs that says no fishing, and that was a $100 fine. I made them pay it.
Yeah.
I'm like,
you obviously saw all that.
Yes, that was a little ridiculous.
Yeah. So that, yeah, I haven't had anything. I think I may have mentioned this in the first one. One time for my parents' cabin, the cleaning company called and they said that someone had been smoking weed in the property and that they were going to have to like go get some like, you know, deodorizers and that sort of stuff. So I called the person. I said, you owe us $500. I just made up a fee. I said, you owe it right now. And they Venmoed it to me. They didn't ask any questions.
And then I called, you were here in Greenville. I was in Hilton Head. So I always check on your property when I'm there. And there were guests there. I knock on the door. I go in and I'm checking air filters or something. And they have blazed up with weed. And I was like, it was a little awkward.
Wait, were they just high or did it smell like it in there?
Oh, no. They had just blazed up. Okay. I mean, it was, but it really, you know, you have all of your floors are tile. It wasn't a big deal in that case. And so, I mean, I didn't even say anything. I just, they all have fun, you know, because they were very nice.
Yeah.
And they were return guests. Like they come every year.
Yeah.
So it wasn't, I didn't think that was a big deal, but here's a good question.
Okay.
Never gotten this one. Are insurance rates higher for short-term vacation rentals? And I take care of all that. Wesley doesn't even know. And the answer is surprisingly no.
Yeah.
It is insurance not. Is insurance. No, it is not anymore.
Yeah.
And if you're on the coast in South Carolina, it is actually quite reasonable. You move into Florida, it's not so reasonable.
Yeah,
it depends. So it depends on the state. So investigate.
Going back to squatters, though, Florida just got rid of squatters.
No squatters rights.
No squatters rights. So we're protected down there. And I'm not really worried about someone in Hilton.
It would make my day. Please squat in one of our properties because I need to beat the hell out of somebody.
We kind of already answered this question, but how much money do you personal spend a year on your rentals? We don't spend any.
No.
Like I said, we keep that fund going, and then at the end of the year, we'll pull out some profit for some fund money or whatever.
Here's a good one. Do you get many people that take things like bedding, decor, et cetera? Very few things.
Yeah, that's what I was reading. Do you have problems with people stealing, breaking stuff? How do you deal with that when it happens? So I don't know of anything. At one time at the cabin, my parents' cabin, someone did take a deer head off the wall.
They stole the head?
Yeah, stole the head, like a deer mount, you know, like a stuffed deer
head. Oh, that one that I put inside that frame and we decorated?
Yeah, that was gone. But did they steal it? Did they break it? They probably just stole it.
Did it fall off and break the antlers and they threw it away?
Who knows? But that's the only where I'm like, someone took that. Now, of course, with people coming in and out of your house, there's going to be things that get broken, whether you have decor or not. But that's where you have to keep your decor to a minimum.
I don't think I've had anything stolen. Mm-mm. I've had glasses broken. That's to be expected. Dishes broken.
Right.
But I don't think anything stolen.
Mm-mm. I've had like a lamp where the top gets loose, you know, like whatever.
Yeah,
like,
but that's normal.
Wear and tear things being used.
Surprisingly, no.
Yeah. So it's not a lot of that. Now, what does happen, going back to Steven's OCD, your shit gets moved around. People love to redecorate.
They think this is their house.
And I don't know, again, if it goes to maybe they come in with kids and they want to put things up high and then they forget where it went, or if they just decide, I want this lamp over there. But usually when you go back, if you haven't been there in a couple of months, you know, this lamp that was on this table's in a bedroom and things do get moved around. It's always odd to me. And sometimes I'm like, did the cleaning company do that? Who knows who did it?
And here's another. Do you mostly have good experiences as the owner or negative? overwhelmingly positive.
Yeah.
Like I can say we've had out of 9 years, very, very few.
Yeah. So you can usually feel out how a guest is going to be from when they start messaging you to book.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get that, you know by the questions they ask what kind of pain in the ass they're going to be or how good they're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, because I've learned this, it's been doing it for 9 years now, I know who from the bat is going to be a pain, and I just decline their request.
Get rid of them.
It's going to be a pain. They're going to pick something apart. You're not going to be able to make them happy. Like, there are people in this world you are not going to make happy.
That it's the same people that come to McDonald's and bitch about something stupid.
Yeah.
It's the same people.
But some people you are not going to make happy. There is nothing you can do to make them happy, and it's just not going to work. So those people, if you can kind of feel it out, like after doing it for a little while, you can get a feel for it. And I just don't book those people. Because you can decline a request at any time for that.
Someone asked the funniest, craziest, weirdest stories we've had from Airbnbs. But really honestly, no, my craziest one was the naked people in the pool riding the luggage rack around the property. Yeah. That's honestly my...
I don't really have any crazy...
I had one person. This was a few years ago. I had to... My washer and dryer went out, so I had to order a new washer and dryer. Well, I'm 4 hours away, and I'm an idiot. But I was working with my housekeeper that manages it, so I didn't get accurate information. So I needed, you know, the smaller combo washer and dryer. Well, uh-huh. I ordered the full size stackable washer dryer.
Well, that wasn't fitting in that little closet.
Mm-mm. So in order to do that, we had to take all of the door frames off throughout the whole place to get it in there. It's in there. It's never leaving. Oh, but in the meantime, it was sitting in the dining room.
Mm-hmm.
And I had like these college kids check in. And I called. I was like, here's the situation. You know, this was unexpected. I was like, offered them a free night. Mm-hmm. You know, I did everything I could.
Right.
And they acted like total assholes. Mm-hmm. I mean, just being so rude and overdramatic. And I was like, you know, I'm doing everything I can to, I even offered to pay for them a night at the Marriott down the street.
Mm-hmm.
And they just acted like complete children. Yeah. And I just said, you know what? You can just leave my property right now. Just, I'm done.
Yeah.
You can get out. And they ended up begging me mm-hmm. to stay. And then I wouldn't, I didn't refund them anything.
Yeah.
Because they were such jerks. But they ended up being like really nice, and because they had nowhere else to go. But I'm like, stop being a jerk.
Right.
Like, especially when I'm giving you a free night, I'm like, let's just pretend, you know, you don't have to pay for tonight.
Right.
You got a washer and dryer in the dining room. I get it. But I really haven't had, you know, it's always stressful during storms. I would say that's the worst part. If you have a vacation rental on the coast,
in a hurricane,
anywhere. Yeah. But after, you know, after like one or two hurricanes, it kind of, you're like, oh, is it still there?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It gets used to it. So I have kind of two different questions that I think kind of roll into one here. So one person asked, what about people leaving bogus bad reviews hoping for refunds? And I think I can intertwine this with, have you ever had problem guests or a pain in the ass guest, and how do you handle them? That sort of thing. So the thing with reviews is the reviews are done once they leave. So once they're done, if they leave a bad review, they're not getting money back. Like, you've left the review, you're not getting money back. So what you try to do is head off the bad review. And that goes into, some people you can't make happy aren't going to be happy. So once you've done it a few times, like, yes, if something goes wrong, for example, you know, the refrigerator goes out. Or something. I mean, stuff happens. Stuff can happen. Mm-hmm. Stuff will happen.
Just like in any home.
I always, what I do is I assess the big picture and how the guests act from how they approach the situation. And this is what you get a good feel for. And if you are a guest and you want to get something,
be nice.
Here's your advice, is to be nice. Because if someone messages me and there's a problem and it's, you know, it's not ruining their vacation. I mean, a refrigerator is a bigger deal, but let's say, I don't even know what someone would message about, but it's something just minor to pain in the butt, you know, just a hassle.
Well, like
something.
The recent thing with mine at Hilton Head, all of my cable and wireless, everything just went out.
Yeah.
Remember?
So if you have something like that, for example.
Had to be all replaced.
If they approach it like, hey, this has happened or whatever, and, it, you know, as the owner, we're trying to work on it. If they're calm about it, what I normally do is I'll give them some money back, whether it's a free night, depending on the problem, I assess it. But if they come at me in this dramatic, over the top way, you immediately know you are not going to be able to make them happy. I will try one time, like I'll try to message them and see what their response is. And that's when, in that moment, you assess in your brain, okay, can I do anything that's going to make this guest happy to save my review when they leave? And some you are never going to make happy. You could give them their full stay.
And $1,000.
And $1,000, and they're going to leave you a bad review. That's what you have to assess in that moment to decide what you're going to do. If I know it's a lost cause because no matter what I'm going to do, that guest is going to leave me a bad review, and it happens for some random thing, then I don't offer anything. I'm at a standstill. I'm sorry that happened to you. We're going to work on it. It's out of my control. And I don't offer any money back, because I'm taking my money and I'm getting my bad review.
That's
it's the
right
way that I approach it.
That's right.
If they're nice or whatever, and I'm like, I'm so sorry. I hope this hasn't been, you know, an interruption to your vacation and your time. And they're like, no, it's fine. I just wanted you to know. I would like, if someone can come fix it, then I immediately like, you want to, I'll give you a free night back. Hopefully y'all can have a good meal or whatever sort of thing. Because I know my gesture of doing that to them is going to save my reviews.
Oh,
and
then
they're
going to
appreciate that I went above and beyond. And they'll even say 5 stars. They may not mention the problem. They may say, we had a little issue, but Wesley was right on it and super responsive. And we appreciated that. And you get your 5 stars.
Like the lady that was
and
there in Hilton Head when the cable and wireless went out. Well, they were there for a wedding.
Yeah.
And they were doing wedding prep. And whatever they were doing, wireless was super important. So my housekeeper got out there, she manages the condo above me. She gave them that login to that wireless.
Yeah.
We got the cable company out there, but they had to come out like 3 times.
Yeah.
I mean, it was long, and they were so appreciative
that you were putting the effort in.
They never bothered me. They were so nice. I just automatically gave them 2 nights free. They were there for a week. I gave them 2 free nights, apologized, thanked them for being so nice, and never heard anything. And I was like, damn, you know, were they mad? Were they?
Yeah.
And then the other day I was going through and I had missed the review and it was a 5-star review. Complimented how that there was a little issue and how it
you
was with
it.
The wireless, how I got on it, and then sent me a private note thanking me so much for the 2 free nights.
Yeah. So that's how you handle those situations. But you know immediately how someone is responding. For example, this is something that's happened. It doesn't happen often, thankfully, but it has. But in Hilton Head, in Hilton Head, this is easier going back to the different types of management companies. The one in Florida is a much bigger management company and everything's automated. I have to put in the calendar when guests are coming. You know, they send codes and that sort of thing. Hilton Head, again, we hire a cleaner who does, you know, maintenance and that sort of thing. I have to send her my dates and that sort of thing. Well, we had a guest cancel. And then a guest rebooked, but I didn't realize the guest that rebooked was a day earlier than the guest that had canceled because there was a little gap in there. So the guest who rebooked showed up like 11 o'clock at night and the condo wasn't clean from the last guest because they had just cleaned, they had just checked out. But my booking, the cleaning company was going to clean the next morning. That lady emailed, messaged me and was like, hey, we have a problem. But she was so nice through the whole thing. And I'm like, I am so sorry. I called our cleaning company. The owner was sick because normally she would have gotten up literally at 11 o'clock at night and gone and cleaned the condo for them, or at least taken, you know, clean everything. But she was sick and she was like, this one time I cannot do it. So I called the Marriott next door and I made sure they had rooms or whatever. And then I called back this lady and I was like, I'm so sorry. It can be cleaned in the morning. Do you want me to get your, I'll pay for the room at the Marriott and that sort of thing. Or, you know, I will do whatever I can to help you. Mm-hmm. And she was so nice the whole time. And then she was like, well, they didn't use the previous guest didn't use this other bedroom or whatever. So we'll sleep in here tonight. It's no big deal. If you can just have them, you know, come clean tomorrow. And so understanding, like
so nice.
So nice. Which I mean, to me, I would be like, oh my God, I'm staying in this dirty, you know, someone else has been here. Gross. It's gonna feel dirty. But she was so nice. And they were only staying, I think, like 3 nights. So I just refunded their whole trip. I was like,
and I bet she left a great review.
And she left a great review. She was over the top happy, like, no, don't do that. But I was like, okay, 3 nights is a relatively short stay. It wasn't like prime season.
And she was so nice.
Like that much money in the beginning. And she was so nice, start to finish, arriving at like 11 o'clock at night. This went on trying to figure it out back and forth till like midnight. And that is when I will do anything. Like, your whole trip back. Here you go. You know, enjoy your stay, get something extra, whatever. She left me a great review. So that's the thing you have to figure out from the beginning is how the guest is going to respond. I mean, if she would have been super ugly, which in that situation, she probably had the right to be super ugly, but she knew I was doing everything I could. And there's only, we're both sides are only human and there's only so much you can do. I had already, before I called her back, I called to check that there were hotel rooms available that she could check in. I knew the rate I was going to do it for. Her, so I presented her with two, you know, you can stay there and they can clean it in the morning. Or, and I didn't even say, I'll give you your money back. I said, you can stay there and they'll come clean it in the morning if you think you can make that work. Or they do have rooms next door. If you want to get a room there, I will pay for the room and everything. And she's like, oh, we can make it work. We'll just stay here. And then I was like, okay, if you're going to do that, I'm going to refund, you know, your whole stay.
And the biggest message is don't be an asshole.
Yeah. Don't be an asshole and you'll get what you want.
Yeah.
Because there are things that.
That ties in a question that I got too. Are your cleaning people dependable?
Yes.
Yes. I mean, sometimes something crazy will happen like that and you will have a situation, but typically we do not have problems. And usually when there's a situation, it's like the peak of the season,
right? Usually,
and sometimes it's our fault too.
That's what I was saying. That one was totally my fault. Sometimes the problem will, like, peak season will be like not getting it cleaned right on time. Like, get check-in is at 4. Well, you know, July, everyone's ready to get to the beach and they're right at 4 and they could be running behind and we have to say like, oh, it's going to be another hour. They're finishing cleaning or something just because they have so many to clean. But that's rare. I mean, that's...
And this is a good question that I got. Are there any tax benefits of owning a short-term rental? And I would say many. Number one, like we talked about earlier, you're accumulating a lot of... appreciation on the property. Now, eventually you're going to have to pay up. But the other thing is you can invest in that property. You can improve that property and raise the value of that property even more. And you can write that off as a deduction, as a business expense.
Right.
So I personally see it just as a win-win-win all the way around.
Yeah. going back to the squatter thing that I didn't mention is one thing that I don't do that can also help with squatters, because I don't know the exact days, but they have to be in there a certain length of time before that kicks in. I don't do any long-term rentals. Like, I don't, rarely do I do like even a snowbird for 30 days. I may do 20 days, depends on the person, but mm-hmm. you can do things like that as far as like squatters, right? You have to look into it.
And I do snowbirds in Hilton Head, but they're the same. They didn't come this year. I hope they're okay.
Yeah.
But they've been coming for 8 of the 9 years.
Yeah.
And they're just the nicest people.
And if you don't know snowbirds and vacation rentals, those are the people who come from up north, especially because we own Southern properties, who will come down for the winter. They'll rent during the off season for usually a much cheaper rate,
mm-hmm.
sort of thing. But see, I don't like, you had your people and they've been the same people. Mm-hmm. I don't like anyone to be in there for too long. I think I even have the Florida house set to a max of 14 days because you get a little too comfortable in there. That's when you start like
thinking you own it.
Uh-huh. And I don't like that part of it. So that's when I kind of hold that off by not renting
that's
as
smart.
Well. And I think my last question that I have, you might have others, but my last one is, how far in advance do you book your own weeks that you want to be there? So for me, remember, you do want to enjoy it yourself. If, you know, it's in a place that you do mm-hmm. want to, we do go enjoy ours. You know, we talked about running it as a business, which we do, but we also like to enjoy it as well. So what we do, and if you followed us, you may notice, we go in the off season to enjoy it, which is honestly when it works for us and we get to enjoy the property mm-hmm. anyway. So like Daniel and I went in January. We went in February, and then we'll go again in like August.
I haven't been this year.
You haven't made it this year?
Uh-uh. No. I'll go in August.
Yeah.
I'll go.
Oh, yeah, because we got COVID and you didn't get to join us in January.
And then I didn't go in February.
Yeah.
Dylan was working. But yeah, I'll go in August.
So, and we've kind of figured out that routine works for us with the house in Florida, just with our schedules at work and Daniel's growing season. And it's so nice at the beach then in January. It's not busy, but it's still nice, much nicer weather than here. And you can go out to eat, not wait. And then sort of the mm-hmm. same thing in August, we still get that summer beach trip, but we wait until like schools are starting to go back. So a lot of the traffic has died down and that sort of thing. So we figured out that those are kind of our times to go. And we block those out a year in advance. But now if something came up, I mean, you can block them out whenever you want, but you definitely want to block them out as soon as possible so that you do get your trip in there.
And we did go in prime time last year.
Yeah.
Dylan and I took his family.
Yeah, you did.
And, you know, I'll do that every once in a blue moon, but mm-hmm. I'm not doing, you know.
The biggest thing that we haven't addressed in this one is with family, when they know you have
family and friends.
Family mm-hmm. and friends when they know you have an Airbnb. So what you have to do is you have to set the boundaries from day one. Mm-hmm. You need in your mind what you're going to charge family and friends, like at least the, you know, if you're paying a management company, or a cleaning company, you still have to pay that. You shouldn't be paying for your family and friends' vacation. So you have to charge them something, whether you're giving them a discount or what.
Mm-hmm.
You have to charge them something. Steven is laughing at me over here because I'm the one that... Steven will let anyone go for free to his.
When we bought the Florida house together, he said, you manage the property, the money, the insurance, and all that, and the taxes. I'm doing the rentals because you're too generous. I'm like, it's true.
Yeah.
I have a hard time saying, pay me.
Not me.
No.
They have to cover, they would go on vacation. Here's the thing. Your families and friends, family mm-hmm. and friends, if you say, no, my house is booked, you know,
they're
like,
going somewhere.
They're going somewhere else and they're going to pay for it. So they should pay you something for it. But you have to get that from the beginning. Like we'll say during the off season, you know, we'll do a flat fee for family and friends. And it covers our cleaning cost and, you know, stuff like that. it's enough to cover some costs. Because if not, why are you paying for other people's vacations? And why are you risking having to pay, you know, money out of your pocket for this house that should be making money for itself?
No, you're right. You're right.
And we set boundaries from the very, very beginning.
Like, we told all of our family and friends, like with the Florida house, between Memorial Day and Labor Day, if you want to go, that is fine.
Get
you
on
go,
Airbnb and book it yourself.
You're not getting a discount. You're not getting it. You're never getting it for free.
Yeah.
But you're not getting it at a discount either.
Yeah.
Because that's our money-making time.
Right.
Now, if Wesley and I choose to block it out that we're going to go.
Between those times.
We will go. It's ours.
It's our house.
But not if our butt is not in that house, it is full price.
Yeah. From Memorial Day to Labor Day, because that's peak season.
Yep.
After that, out of those times, then we'll talk about your family rate. But you're still not going for free.
Let me tell you, Wesley is in charge of it, and I'm glad because I see that money coming in that checking account. He would charge Mother Teresa. If she was like, I'm going to go and help homeless people, he would be like, well, we'll cut you a deal, but it's going to be yes. And honestly, okay, but in all fairness, I'm just giving you credit.
Mm-hmm.
You have to set boundaries.
Yeah, you have to set the boundaries because everyone will ask for it. Mm-hmm. And I don't mind people asking. So if you've asked for it in the past, don't feel weird about it because I've told you a fee and you can take it mm-hmm. or leave it or whatever. Mm-hmm. But when people think they have this connection, you can't offer that to everyone. I mean, mm-hmm. we have employees, we have family members, we have friends of family members.
Mm-hmm.
And no one, here's the thing, no one minds asking for it. So why do you mind charging for it? Like,
no.
And they're like I said, if you're like, oh, I'm sorry, it's booked that week, they're still going to find mm-hmm. them a vacation place to go. May not be as nice as ours because, whatever. They might adjust their budget, but they're paying something.
Mm-hmm. And what I did for Hilton Head is I just set up, okay, everyone will pay the cleaning fee.
Mm-hmm.
And I charge friends and family $50 a night.
Okay.
Which is...
Where are you going to get a room, a whole condo for $50 a night?
You're almost giving it away. You're too cheap. I know.
I need to run I could increase your sales. Oh, you said
that. He has said that for 9 years. If you let me manage yours, your money will go up. And it would, but in all fairness... I truly have that place in Hilton Head for my family too.
Yeah, I know.
And that's purposeful.
Right.
Now, everything else is all about the money.
Right. That is true.
But, you know.
So you do just know you got to have those boundaries before mm-hmm. you even start. Because it gets real awkward feeling.
Yes.
Because you get like, and you don't know their intentions. They may not even be asking to go for free. That may not even be what their intentions are. They just know you have it and may want to know how to book it. So if you have in your mind before anyone asks you what to say, then you are set. Like when someone asks me, hey, are these dates available? I say, just so you know, there's no discount between, I mean, I say it right out of,
mm-hmm.
first words out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. There's no discount between Memorial Day and Labor Day. Off season, I can give you a discount if you want to look at some dates. Here's the calendar, mm-hmm. and I'll tell you what the price is.
Mm-hmm.
And then I tell them the price. And if they don't want it, they don't want it. That's mm-hmm. fine. And I just say, if these don't work for you or that doesn't work for you,
and it wasn't given to us.
No.
It costs money.
A lot of money.
Yeah. It costs money.
All right. I think that wraps up this episode. If you want more about how we got started and set up and that sort of thing, I think we went in more depth on our first time we talked about mm-hmm. vacation rentals, which is episode 2 back last year. So if you scroll down on the list of episodes here all the way to the bottom, it's the second episode ever from our podcast, and you can get a whole different little take on it. But mm-hmm. I loved answering all the questions.
Yeah, and I liked it because it's completely different perspective, some things I never thought of.
Right.
Like the one thing that shocks me is all the squatters questions.
Yeah.
That has never crossed my mind.
Never a worry for me.
You do not want to squat on my property.
And then you just set it up and I don't worry about things getting broken either.
So, and honestly, sometimes as some things get broken, I'm like, oh, we needed new.
Yeah. You got to replace and refresh and that sort of thing. All right. That's going to wrap it up. Remember to leave us a review wherever you're listening to your podcast. If you have any questions, our hotline number is 864-982-5029. It's also down in the show notes below. You can text or call us there. And if you're interested in renting any of our Airbnbs, I'll put all the links down below. We have a Florida Airbnb at Miramar Beach right next to Destin. We have two in Hilton Head and my parents in Pigeon Forge.
Yeah, come stay with us. Yeah, don't even think about squatting.
Yeah, we'll come there and whip your ass for sure. See you next week.
Bye-bye.